Hare Krishna. So this morning we're discussing a little bit about Sankirtan, about the glories of the Sankirtan movement. And why this activity is so dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our parampara, and why it's so important for each one of our own spiritual lives to take advantage. Srila Prabhupada, as we know, was traveling the world, and he went to so many places and he gave so many lectures. And it's very interesting when you look at Srila Prabhupada's lectures, he quotes many times from the Shastra. So he quotes from the Bhagavatam, he quotes from the Gita, he quotes from the Sisi. And he quotes many, many different verses. Does anyone know, of all the Bhagavad Gita quotes or verses that Srila Prabhupada ever quoted, which one he quoted most from the Bhagavad Gita? Sarvadharmam Parityaja. Okay, any other takers?
Dehino Smin.
Yes, actually you got it right, first time. The most quoted verse of Srila Prabhupada from the Bhagavad Gita is 1866. Sarva dharman parityaja, mam ekam saranam raja. So that was the easy one. Out of all the verses that Srila Prabhupada quoted from the Bhagavatam, so this is in classes, in conversations and other places, which verse from the Bhagavatam do you think Srila Prabhupada quoted most? Number one.
Seventh canto.
Seventh canto? Okay, that's good. Uh-huh. It is actually from the seventh canto, yes.
Prahlad
Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, yes. But I still don't think you'll get it.
Fools and rascals, they are suffering, but I would like to help. They're going to hell, and I would like to help.
Okay, yeah. Prabhupada definitely did talk about the fools and the rascals. but not exactly that verse.
It's this verse, Svartha Gatim, no?
Oh, very good. Yes, got it. Tatei vidu svartha gatim hi vishnu durasyaye bahir arthamanina. This is the verse from the Bhagavatam that Prabhupada quoted the most. It's Prahlad Maharaj speaking to his father Hiranyakashipu. And what does he say? Nate vidu, the whole world does not know, sva artha gatim hi vishnu, that their real self-interest is in understanding who the Supreme Lord is, who they are, what their relationship is. And because they don't know this, the basic knowledge of who is God, who they are, therefore they're running around for sense gratification. Andhayatandher upaniyamanam, the whole world is a system of the blind following the blind. And when the blind follow the blind, then everyone falls into the ditch. So this is the most quoted verse from the Bhagavatam, seventh canto of the Bhagavatam. Now of all the verses of the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Srila Prabhupada ever quoted, which do you think was the most quoted verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita? That's a very good guess. That was the one I would have gone for. Yes. The verse actually that Prabhupada quoted the most from the Chaitanya Charitamrita is a very beautiful verse from the 7th chapter of the Madhya Lila. After the Lord begins his tour of South India, the Lord comes to a place called Kurmakshetra. And in Kurmakshetra, there's a Kurma Brahmana. I'm not sure if Kurmastan was named after him or he was named after Kurma, I have no idea. But the Kurma Brahmana lived in Kurmastan and he saw Mahaprabhu and he fell in love with Mahaprabhu. And he said, Mahaprabhu, I want to leave everything behind. I want to leave my family. I want to leave my material life. I want to leave my occupation. And I just want to join you and travel. And it's very interesting because Mahaprabhu did not kind of, you know, say, okay, here we go, great, another sannyasi for the movement. When the Karma Brahmana complained that the waves of family life were impeding his spiritual advancement, then Mahaprabhu gave him a solution. Jare dekha tare kaha Krishna upadesh, amara agyaya guru hanatare eidesh. He said, you got problems in your family life? The waves of family life are affecting your spiritual advancement. Sometimes it feels like that. If you ever try and go and swim in the ocean, then you can keep going in, and no matter how much effort you come, then a wave comes and then it just pushes you back again. And then you try and go in again, and then another wave comes and it keeps pushing you out, and you feel like, I'll never get into the ocean. So sometimes it can feel like that in material life or in life in general, that it feels like I'm trying to get into Krishna consciousness. I'm trying to dive into the ocean of bhakti. I'm trying to go deep into the bhakti rasamrita sindhu, but the waves of material life keep throwing me out. The waves of family problems, the wave of financial problems, the waves of relationship crisis, the waves of coronavirus or whatever it may be. So the Karma Brahmana said to him, too many waves. So Mahaprabhu said, if you want to mitigate this, if you want to overcome this, then I'll give you the instruction. Jare Deka, whoever you see, Tare Kaha, whoever you speak to, Krishna Upadesh, just tell them Krishna's instructions. Amara Agyaya, on my order, on my instruction, on my appeal, Guru Hana, become a guru, Tara Edesh, and deliver all the people. So it's very interesting because you may look at that and you think, like, tomorrow if someone would come to you and say, Prabhu, I've got so many problems, I've got this problem, that problem. Generally, you wouldn't come to your mind first to just tell them, look, I know you've got so many problems, just go out and preach. It sounds almost counterintuitive. Why would you tell someone who's got so many problems themselves that go out and preach? You think, like, charity begins at home. Let me solve my own problems. Let me sort out my own life. Let me get everything in order in my own domain. And then maybe I can go out and help others. How I will help others if I myself have so many problems? But the interesting thing is, straight after this verse, Mahaprabhu says to the Kurma Brahmana, Kabu naba dibe tomar vishaya taranga punara apie thane pabe mora sangha. That if you follow this instruction of mine, this will solve your problems. This will allow you to remain in your family life and not be affected by anything. So that probably requires some thought and contemplation. What is the connection here? What is the connection between going out and preaching and solving your own problems in life? Why in the world is it that when you preach, your own problems get solved? Why is that? There could be many answers, but three come to mind prominently. When you share Krishna consciousness, number one, you get realization. Number two, you get absorption. And number three, you get reciprocation. And through realization, absorption, and reciprocation, you ultimately overcome all of your problems. The first thing that happens when we go out and we share Krishna consciousness is that we get realization. We get realizations about many things. But one thing we get a realization of is that, you know what, my problems, my difficulties, my obstacles, my complexities, you know what? They're not that bad. Because when you go out and you speak to people, when you go out and you look at what's going on in the world, when you go out and you actually begin to look beyond the surface of the material world, then you realize, you know what? This material world is full of complexity. This material world is full of chaos. This material world is full of difficulties. And somehow or other, although my life sometimes looks bad, now I can understand and develop gratitude for what I have. Because when I see what my life would be if I didn't have what I have, I almost start looking at my own life and thinking, it's not that bad. It's very interesting that Buddha, before he became the Buddha, his father, what did he do? He locked him in the palace. And he didn't want him to go outside of the palace. He didn't want him to go and see the kingdom. He didn't want him to just go out there. Because he had this hunch that if he will go out and he will see what's going on in the world, then it will force him to question. And it will bring a certain realization within. Therefore, what did Gautama's father do? He never allowed him to go outside of the palace. But then one day, he went. And when he went out, who did he see? The four divine messengers. And who were the four divine messengers? The first person he saw in the kingdom was an old person. The second person he saw was a diseased person. The third person he saw was a dead person. And the fourth person he saw was an ascetic who was meditating to overcome Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi. And then Buddha realized, this is life. This is what people go through. This is the struggle of a material existence, and the only way to overcome it is if I also become an ascetic and I elevate my consciousness. And like this, the suffering that the Buddha saw elevated his consciousness. So it's very important to go out and see what the alternative to Krishna consciousness is. If you're thinking practicing Krishna consciousness in whatever situation you have is hard, then just go out and see how hard it is if you don't have Krishna consciousness, if you don't have spirituality, if you don't have something so sublime as this process. Therefore, Krishna says in the Gita, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi Dukha Doshanu Darshanam. If I say to you, take darshan, then what you generally think of is, okay, we'll come at 7 or 7.15, the curtains will open and I'll take darshan of Krishna. But what does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? Every day you should have a darshan, a different type of darshan. Yes, you should see the smiling face of Krishna, but every day you should have another type of darshan. Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi, Dukha, Doshanu, Darshanam. The other darshan you should have every single day is you should see how much suffering there is in this world, how many difficulties there are, and that will make us much more appreciative of our own situation. So Sankirtan is like that. When you go out and you speak to people, and you'll be surprised when people meet you on the street and they almost feel like, I don't know this person, and probably I'll never meet this person again. People are very open. People are very open about what they're going through. And you get so many realizations from speaking to people of what the Shastra is actually teaching us material life is all about. I remember one time I was on Sankirtan, and 3 days in a row, I met 3 different individuals who wanted to commit suicide on that very day. And one of them even opened his jacket and he showed me a rope. he showed me a rope that he was going to hang himself with. This is life. When you see the suffering, the difficulty, that's another type of darshan which makes us realize my life is not so bad. Gandhi said, I complained that I never had shoes until I met someone who never had any legs. You know, there's this old Indian tale about a king, and what he did is that one day he announced to the whole kingdom, he said, I'm opening a gallery. I'm opening a gallery of everyone's problems. So you can come and you can display all of your problems. Because, you know, misery loves company, so people love telling other people about their problems. He said, okay, everyone keeps telling me, we'll make a whole gallery here. So everyone came and they made a whole display of all their problems. Everyone came. So they all came and then they came in. And as they came in, you can see that's like everyone was quite excited to see everyone else's problems. Mm-hmm. Like soap operas are like that, right? Like everyone likes to see other people's problems. So everyone came into this gallery of problems and they started looking around and everyone's like, my God, you know, it's like, wow, look at that person's problems, look at that person's problems. And then at the end of the day, they all started walking out of the gallery. And then the king said, whoa, 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 one second. Where are you guys all going? I've got a gallery of problems here. Everyone has to take one set of problems with them. So they all went back in the gallery and they started looking at all the problems again. But now they started looking with a different vision because they had to take a set of them home. They started looking at everyone's problems. They're like, oh, yeah, that guy's problem's not so bad. But no, that one thing. No, forget it. I don't deal with that. This person's problems, yeah, seems okay. But then there's this thing. Oh, no. Every single person went, looked at every single other person's set of problems. And you know what they concluded? You know what I'm going to do, right? I'm just going to take my own problems and get out of here. Because we think our problems are the worst problems in the world. But when you go out and you see everyone's facing problems, it gives you a realization that there is no problem. There's no problem actually in my life. The only problem is my own mind. In the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, you find this, the song of the Avanti Brahmana. So he goes through a lot in life, and then finally he becomes a tyagi, a renunciate. And he has this whole outpouring of his realizations. And then in one verse he says very beautifully, Nayam jano me sukadu kahetur, na devatatma griha karma kalaha. Mana param karanama mananti samsara chakram parivartaya dhyat. He said, in my life I looked back and I was wondering, why did I suffer so much? And then he said, Nayam jano me. I used to think other people were the cause of my suffering. I was wrong. Na devatatma. Later on, I thought maybe the devas were the cause of my suffering, the demigods. I was wrong. Graha. Later on, I thought maybe it was the planetary systems. Prabhu, my planets are out of alignment. You know, the moon and Mercury and Mars. He said it wasn't even my planets. Karma. I thought then later on that the cause of my suffering is my karma. I was wrong. Kala. Later on I thought maybe the cause of my suffering was time. Everyone suffers in time. I was wrong. What was the cause? Padam karanam. What's the ultimate cause of my suffering? Mana. He says my own mind. Later on in my maturity, I realized that the only cause of suffering is my own mind. samsara chakram parivartayadyat, because that mind perpetuates material existence. So the first thing, the first beautiful thing about Sankirtan is that it gives us realization. It gives us realization that, you know what, my life is not so bad. But the second thing Sankirtan does is that it gives you absorption. In life, there can be nothing more absorbing than Sankirtan. There can be nothing more absorbing than sacrificing one's own effort and reaching out to really help others. The Sankirtan movement is a movement of adventure. It's a movement of real contribution to the world. It's a movement in which you can practically see how your endeavors will enrich the lives of others. And therefore the Sankirtan movement becomes a very absorbing activity. Sankirtan devotees will testify to this, I'm sure, of how, you know, when they're engaged in sharing Krishna consciousness, to some extent everything else disappears, time flies, problems go to the back of one's mind. And to some extent, one loses consciousness of their own identity to some extent, because they become so engrossed in giving to others. You know, it's like you're on the street and you got a stone in your shoe. And you can go like the whole day, like 12 hours, and not take your stone out of the shoe because you don't want to waste any time. You think, like, just take your shoe off for 10 seconds and get the stone out. But you get so absorbed that you don't even want to waste a moment. And so the reason why we see so many problems in our life is because we don't have absorption. Problems are not there because the problems are so prominent. Problems are there because we have nothing else prominent to absorb our consciousness in. Once people, they were living in the high-rise flats, so they came complaining to the owner and they said, the lift is too slow. The lift to get to the 80th floor, it takes so long. Can you speed up the lift? So the owner was quite ingenious. He said, yeah, yeah, just give me a week. I'll call in the technician and I'll increase the speed of the lift. Don't worry. You know what he did? After 1 week, what he did in that week is he didn't call a technician, he just called in a DIY man. And what he told the DIY man is put a mirror in the lift. After a week, he went back to the people. And they said, you did a great job. Who was that engineer you called in? The lift is like flying up now in no time. And the point was that because people go into the lift and become absorbed in themselves, mirror, mirror, on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? In that absorption of looking at yourself, it doesn't become that much of a long journey anymore. Because there's a certain absorption that allows one to transcend their problems. So when we have, or when we feel there are many problems in our life, instead of trying to solve the problems, sometimes it's more progressive to rather look for absorption. Look for absorption in Krishna. Look for absorption in service. Look for absorption in a life of selflessness. And that kind of absorption is what ultimately helps you to overcome your problems. And so this is another reason why Mahaprabhu tells the Kurma Brahmana, preach, share. Because you think your life is so bad, but just get absorbed in helping others. When you help other people solve their problems, your problems get solved automatically. And the third thing is that when we preach and when we give Krishna consciousness, not only do you get realization, not only do you get absorption, but perhaps the most valuable thing is that you get reciprocation. You get great reciprocation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is incredibly concerned that the holy name go everywhere. And when one becomes an instrument of distributing the holy name far and wide, then one attracts mercy, one attracts kripa. Kaviraj Goswami says, Sri Chaitanya Daya Karaha Vichar Vichar Karite Chite Pabichamatkar. That if you're at all interested in logic, then try to apply your logic to the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and your mind will be blown. Mahaprabhu's mercy is so life-changing. Mahaprabhu's mercy is so powerful. Mahaprabhu's mercy is what can change everything. Kaviraj Goswami says in another verse, Katanchana Shmide Yasmin Dushkaram Sukaram Bhavet Vishmide Vipaditam Shyat Shri Chaitanyam Namamitam. That when you remember Mahaprabhu, when you're in consciousness and you're connected to Mahaprabhu, even difficult things become very easy. Shishi Gornitai ki jai. But when you forget Mahaprabhu, when you're devoid of Mahaprabhu's mercy, even easy things become very, very difficult. So the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes all the difference in our spiritual life. By the strength of our sadhana, by the strength of our determination, by the strength of our dharma, by the strength of our strictness, we may not get very, very far, because the reality is we're very, very weak. And all of those things, though we endeavor, they may not be powerful enough to carry us back home, back to Godhead. They may not be powerful enough in and of themselves to purify our heart. But if somehow to all of those things we add the ingredient of Mahaprabhu's mercy, then there may be a chance. And therefore one must always be looking in their life, how can I attract mercy? Because it's that mercy that will make all the difference. And where is mercy available in its greatest quantities? Mercy is available when one goes out to share mercy with others. Mercy is available when one fulfills the inner desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is to spread Krishna consciousness everywhere. Mahaprabhu says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I am one gardener. How many fruits I will be able to give to the world? Therefore I order every single person that also become a gardener and share these fruits with everyone. So it's Mahaprabhu's intense desire that everyone get the opportunity of experiencing this Krishna consciousness movement. So this is what happens, that one gets great reciprocation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I was kind of mentioning that yesterday, but I feel as though my most tangible interactions and my most tangible experiences of the Lord's presence have come whilst on Sankirtan, while sharing Krishna consciousness with others. Because there's a sense in which the Lord becomes very active when the Lord sees that this person is trying to reach out and connect others. And amazing things happen, outrageous things happen. You come face to face with the Lord. Every Sankirtan devotee has so many stories, so many amazing things that happen. Well, maybe we're talking about book distribution. I could share a story with you. Once I was traveling, and I got like 10 missed calls on my phone. For someone was trying to call me, and it was a number which I didn't have stored. So I tried to call back. If someone called you 10 times, it must be. So I tried to call back, but somehow or other that person didn't pick up. So what I did is I saved that number in my phone. And I saved, like, the first time. and I thought I'll try in a few hours, try to call them back. 1 year passed and I never called that person again, but the number stayed on my phone. Exactly 1 year later, I was getting ready to travel on St. Peter's Island to go from a place called Leicester down back to London. So I was getting all my things ready, and as I was, I moved my phone, and by accident, I called that number. So I looked at my phone, and I was like, hey, ringing. And I was like, oh, that was from 1 year ago. That's gone, you know, that was 1 year ago I did, you know. So then I checked, it was ringing, but I thought that was 1 year ago, and I just put the phone down. And then we went on Sankirtan, and I went to a town I've never been to before. And halfway through the day, I meet someone. And the person's like super interested. They're like, can I take all the books? I'm like, yeah, be my guest. So they take one of every single book and give a very generous contribution. And then they walk off, and then this person comes back and says, you know what? It's amazing I should meet you today, because this morning I got a call from Hare Krishna. So I said, who was it? Maybe I know them. So he pulls out his phone and he goes through the phone book and he says, Sutapa. I'm like, that's me. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, no, that's me. And then it clicked to me. That number I accidentally called in the morning. And so I pulled out my phone and I read, I said, is this your number? And I called out, and he said, how did you get my number? I looked at his phone and I saw my name. I said, how did you get my number? And what basically had happened was that 1 year ago, he was getting interested in spiritual life, so he knew someone who knew me. And this person had given him my number, and he said, call this monk, he can give you some books. So he called me, I didn't, obviously we didn't connect. But can you imagine, 1 year later, I called his number by accident. And then I go to a town I've never been to before. And in the midst of thousands of people, I meet that very person. Coincidence. Chance. Amazing things happen. Amazing things happen when we go out. We feel the presence of Krishna. We feel the reciprocation of Krishna. We feel Krishna is real. Krishna is active. Krishna is alive. Krishna is answering our prayers. So as mentioned yesterday, Mahaprabhu's pastimes are going on even today, and one who participates in the Sankirtan movement, they get first hand witness of those pastimes. It's very, very beautiful. There's no material reason to do Sankirtan. You don't get anything from it. Why do the devotees keep doing it? Because there's an amazing reciprocation. Because there's an amazing reciprocation which comes. So, let me just pause there and see whether there may be any questions from your side before I kind of carry on and say anything else. Does anyone have any questions or anything practical you want to ask about Sankirtan? If anyone would like to ask anything.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. So you said when we go out and try to share Krishna consciousness, we also help ourselves and solve our problems. And can it not also be that we go to the street and we escape from ourselves, like we're flying away from our problems, that we have at home and we are not brahmachari, we are not grihastha, we are not properly situated, and yeah, we cannot even take care of our own family. And then we go out on the street and try to, yeah, to show like we are very good and share Krishna consciousness, although we don't have proper situation at home.
Yes. You can only really share Krishna consciousness and go and help other people if in your own life you're living an appropriate Krishna conscious life. Therefore, what does Sanatan Goswami say to Haridas Thakur? Achar prachar kara dui karya dui tumi sarva guru tumi jagadher harya. Sanatan Goswami looks at Haridas Thakur and says, you're the jagadher harya, you're the spiritual master of all the worlds because you have achar and you have prachar. Because you're going out to share Krishna consciousness, but also in your own life, you have substance, you have genuine absorption, you have integrity, you have purity in your own character. We say that if you do prachar, but you take out achar, then when you take out achar from prachar, all you're left with is PR. Right, it's just PR. It's just you're saying some words. It's promotional, but it won't really impact anyone in a profound way. And therefore, and one will actually see that one will not be able to sustain preaching. One will not be able to sustain book distribution. One will not be able to sustain helping people if in their own life they're not living an ideal life. So, but what I would say is that preaching and one's own practice, they actually feed each other. When you practice well, then you become more empowered and inspired to preach. And when you go out and preach, then what it does is it gives you more impetus. If you're doing it in the right spirit, it should bring you more impetus to then go back in your life and then try to actually live and practice appropriately. Because then one will naturally feel, if they're preaching, that I should also practice what I preach. I should also be a good example. I should also fulfill my duties as well. And so here, Mahaprabhu is, Kurma Brahmana wants to run away. So Mahaprabhu is telling him, don't run away, preach. Because when you preach, then you'll find that everything in your personal life should get resolved. And therefore, if one has proper guidance, then one will see that both things will support and nourish each other. So preaching, maybe for a very short time, can be like an escapism. But if it's done in the right spirit, and if it's done under proper guidance, then that preaching will not be an escapism, but it will be a means by which to actually improve your life at home. Like that. Anyone else like to ask any question or anything practical?
Yeah, just in a similar way, or a similar thought. Sometimes I feel like there's some fruitive mentality behind going out. Also, like, and I'm just wondering, what do you think about that? Like, you go out to get, because there's some addiction to going out, because, yeah, you get so much mercy and it's like inspiring, but is that a right motivation to do it? Like, because then spiritual life gets more more tasty in some way, but I've noticed that if I go out only because of that, then also it doesn't really work sometimes. What do you think about it?
Yes, there is a certain addictiveness. it's kind of like a drug sometimes going out. It's like you want more. But what we do is that in our spiritual life, there are other things that we're doing. There is sadhana that you're doing. There is your own austerity, there is your own other dharmic engagements that you have, that you're doing out of duty. And what happens is when you have that activity of Sankirtan couched within all these other activities, then what will happen is that together it will bring a purification which makes you more wholesome in your character. The reality of Krishna consciousness is that in any given activity of Krishna consciousness, in and of itself, is very unlikely that any activity, whether it be book distribution, whether it be pujari service, whether it be temple commander, is very rare that in any given activity will be pure. There'll always be some element of impurity in every activity of Krishna consciousness because we're not pure devotees. So there'll be a certain type of impurity when we go out and preach. There'll be a certain type of impurity when we manage. There'll be a certain type of impurity that, speak for myself anyway, when we do pujari service. But what happens is that when you take all of these activities and you combine them, then each activity helps to purify the other activity. And so your preaching will help to purify your pujari service, and your pujari service will help to purify your preaching. And like this, when you live a wholesome spiritual life, then, in everything we do, we know that we're not 100%. Whether it's going out and distributing a book, whether it's giving a class, whether it's leading a kirtan, we know that there are ulterior motives. It's not a question of if we have ulterior motives, it's just how much we have, you know. So we have to be pragmatic, and we have to understand that these activities are so powerful that engagement with them, even in an impure state, if there's a sincerity to be purified behind it, will resolve everything. So yeah. Any other questions anyone has?
But also anew, can you maybe explain what means the word Sankirtan, what is all included in it?
Sankirtan, as we know, Sam comes from the word Samyak, which means complete. So it means a complete glorification. That can have different connotations. It can mean an activity in which we're all co-jointly glorifying the Lord. So for any type of Sankirtan, whether it be a musical kirtan, or whether it be the Sankirtan movement of the Brihat Madango going out, it requires a cooperative effort from everyone. And in that way, because it's a joint effort of many in glorifying the Lord, it becomes Sankirtan. It's also Sankirtan, the complete kirtan, in the sense that we're glorifying the name, fame, qualities, pastimes of the Lord. When you do book distribution, these things are all being promoted in the world. The complete glory of the Lord in many, many different ways. And therefore, for that reason, we call it Sankirtan. So, yeah, this is, Kirti means fame. Kirtan means to proclaim the fame or to increase the fame. And Sankirtan means to do it in a very complete, wholesome and comprehensive way. And therefore, it was really Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur who brought in this idea of the Brihat Mridanga, that distributing books, distributing knowledge is also kirtan, is the greater kirtan. It may not be a musical kirtan, but it's a kirtan in which people can understand and appreciate the glories of the Lord, and in that way it's the bigger kirtan. So yeah, these are some meanings of the word Sankirtan. And probably one of the most difficult things on Sankirtan, or just in life, is that people don't listen to us. Right? Have you noticed? Like, we say so many things. Children don't listen to their parents. Children feel parents don't listen to them. Leaders feel those underneath don't listen to them. The people feel the leaders don't listen to us. When we go out on Sankirtan, we feel people don't listen to us. So it would be a very, very interesting seminar. Like, how do you empower yourself to be someone who people will listen to? It's funny, in Shastra you have this concept of Mahavakya, a great utterance. So like some of the Mahavakyas of like Vedanta Sutra, like Tattvamasi, this is like considered a Mahavakya, a great saying. So I was on a Zoom call the other day and something happened which I thought has become like a Mahavakya of COVID times when we're all on Zoom. And the Mahavakya of Zoom times is when someone's on mute and then someone says, "Peru, you're on mute." On every Zoom call it happens at some point. Someone's saying something and then it's like, "No, no, you're on mute," you know. So it happened the other day. You're on mute, the Mahavakya of COVID times. And I was thinking it's a bigger thing, because sometimes we speak but it's like we're on mute. People are not really listening to us. Yeah. And you can't do Sankirtan if people don't listen to you. So I was thinking, like, what does it take for someone to listen to you? What do you have to do in your life so that someone will actually listen to you? And for me, it boils down to probably three things. The first thing is, people won't listen to you unless you listen to them. This is like the number one golden rule. Like, Krishna listens to Arjuna, and therefore Arjuna is ready to listen from Krishna. So we have to be able to hear people. We have to be able to understand what's going in their minds, what's going on in their hearts. We have to understand what are their needs, what are their interests, what are their concerns. If we don't listen to the world, if we don't take the time to hear people, then no one's going to take the time to hear us. It's interesting, in Sanskrit, one of the ways in which a learned person is called is Bahushruta. This is how you call a learned person, Bahushruta. And Bahushruta literally means one who has heard a lot. It's interesting. In Sanskrit, a word for a learned person is someone who has listened a lot. So I think on Sankirtan, unless we listen to people, or unless we're able to hear people's hearts, hear people's minds, we'll never be able to really empower ourselves so that they will listen from us. And then I think the second thing is, we have to speak in a relevant way. One English writer, he says, "Don't increase the volume of your words, increase the value of your words." In other words, when we speak to people, but we speak things which are relevant, we speak things which are inspiring and empowering, we speak things which address their needs, interests and concerns, we speak to them in a language which they can understand, people will listen to us, because we have to be relevant. And that's one of the most amazing things about Sankirtan. Like, we take devotees out on book distribution, and it's funny because like all the devotees know the philosophy, But when you got to express it in words that a completely new person will be able to connect with, it becomes very difficult. Isn't it? Just explaining a simple concept without using devotee lingo or without using jargon that only we talk about within our own circles becomes very difficult. And therefore that art must be learned of how to express Krishna consciousness in a language which people can understand. So the second thing I would say is you have to be able to speak in a relevant way if you want people to listen to you. And the third thing is that people also, they don't just listen to your words, but they listen to your heart. And therefore, we have to actually have genuine compassion. We have to have genuinely good character. We have to have genuine purity. Because when you have purity, when you have that inner substance, and then you speak to people, then it has an impact. I remember in 2003, it was the 30th anniversary of Radha Gokulananda at the manor, and Mukunda Maharaj came there to the manor. And he talked about the first time he met Prabhupada at the Bowery. And he said, I went in and I heard Prabhupada speaking. And he said, I came out and I didn't understand anything really of what Prabhupada said. But just from the tone of his speech, my heart told me that this person has something urgent to tell the world. I have no idea what it is. I have no idea why it's so important. But I got to find out, because just by the tone of his Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, the words emanating from his lotus mouth, I can sense an urgency. So people pick up on that, you know, and it moves them to want to do something, because they see that there's actual compassion, care, concern, actual purity behind one's words. And there were these two, right? Cicero and Caesar. And they used to say that when someone heard Cicero speak, then they would all clap like anything. And when someone would hear Caesar speak, when he would walk out of the room, they'd all follow him into war. So some people can speak in a relevant way, and people will appreciate it. But there are other people who have a deeper purity, a conviction, who don't just speak well, but they affect some other deeper part of someone's character that impels them to then want to do something. And that purity is mystical within a book distributor. You can see it. They're like, they say something and people are just impelled to do it. Because there's some deeper substance there. So yes, if you really want people to hear you, then number one, listen to them. Number two, speak in a relevant way. And number three, have that deeper character, have that deeper purity, have that deeper compassion and care and concern. Because it's that which will impel people to reciprocate with you. And therefore, book distribution is not just—it's not just a sales technique. It's not just about the lines. It's not just about the spot. It's not just about all the different techniques. But it's about actually being desirous to help people, and then everything else will be made up by Mahaprabhu's mercy. So it's 9 o'clock. I don't want to go on because then otherwise we have to go out. So maybe we'll finish there. Mantra Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai.